Welcome to the Forgettable Reads Podcast, a no-nonsense sleepcast for the rest of us. No creepy whispering, no bad spa music, no sleepy monotone. Just sincere reads of boring, bland material for all your verbal white noise needs. And now your host, Lauren Good.
Good evening, my friends, and welcome to episode 19. In last week's episode, we talked about how there was kind of this mass exodus of no that began for a lot of people as lockdown ended, and that this big cosmic no sprang from a baby seed of I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it out. The flip side to that that I wanted to talk about tonight is choosing your own life adventure. When something as big and as pressurized as the pandemic hits and limits our choices and opportunities, once that pressure is lifted, the mind, humans, they are ready and want to start laying new plans. Now, I think I've told you my own story. I went balls to the wall crazy on creating as many new adventures as I could. From the minute we were allowed out, I joined a social club that had these crazy, cool, exciting outings, from jumping out of an airplane for skydiving, to hang gliding, to kayaking, to taking up circus, and all that kind of rigmarole. It was awesome. You basically got to delegate your social calendar to someone with much better connections and knowledge of what was going on in the area outside of you having to browse Yelp for hours and hours and hours. So I stayed in that club for a year and then decided to invest my membership dues into training and marketing and work-related things for my voiceover business the next year, which left me back on the hook to have to start making my own plans again and choosing my own adventures. While trapezing has been great, I also took some retreats that were meant to help you start crafting your life by design. This whole idea of living life by design, of course, is to negate the process of living life by default. When we live a life by default, we often get caught up in the craziness and the hecticness of life's comings and goings, and we tend to not really follow our dreams or make progress on the things that matter more than just the daily survival necessities. It's what Stephen Covey calls the important but not urgent kind of stuff. And I don't know about you, but life by default often feels like being in a cocoon, just kind of stagnating. So the first retreat I went on was with Tony Robbins. It was a virtual retreat called, you guessed it, Unleash the Power Within. And it was where I learned the priming ritual that I shared with you in the last episode that led to so many arguments with Biffy and then the creation of my new favorite daily ritual, the Daily Vibe Sessions. This retreat was a long time on Zoom. It was about 4 or 5 days on Zoom all day long. But they broke up each day with stretch breaks, dancing, small group discussions. Tony is a really, really intense guy. And I'm not going to lie, his voice these days is barely hanging on by a thread from all his years of yelling and yelling. And it kind of hurt my heart and my actor's brain on vocal health during the conference, but I'm very glad I went. But we did do some cool stuff, and it gave me a lot to reflect on. The big event that he does at his in-person events is that he has people walk on hot coals. But obviously, that wasn't a very safe activity to try to plan with people tuning in globally on the web, so we broke boards instead. He literally sent us boards in the mail, along with our virtual retreat packet, and we took our black Tony Robbins-labeled Sharpies and wrote down all the limiting beliefs we had about ourselves and our lives. Then we all got primed and pumped in a Tony ritual and then karate chopped the board in half to symbolize breaking from the past, because the past doesn't equal the future. Then the next day, we started drafting out the new conditioned beliefs we wanted to trade our old ones in for. The whole process was pretty intense, but I did walk away from the event with these three cute little hand paddles. One had a yes on it, one had thumbs up, and one had a heart. And I started bringing them to my voiceover audition workshops on Zoom. that was a fun little addition to our usual process. For me, during this retreat, there was a theme that started coming up about being like nature, like a force of nature, resilient, sometimes tranquil, sometimes playful, sometimes intense, but always creating and everlasting. There's something about the multifaceted nature that we all have, that life has. It's like a crystal. When the sunlight hits, it brings beautiful reflections into the room. And there were days where I wanted to feel more of that and less like a storm cloud heavy with rain. So I kept working with the theme and seeing what came up in the daily vibes. Then later in the year, after a messy breakup and ridiculous drama surrounding it, through a friend, I discovered a coach who produces content that's maybe a little more my speed and language because it's a little bit more creative and gentle. His name is Matthew Hussey, and thank you, Jim, for introducing me. Admittedly, he is pretty shiny and very polished, but I'll take that over the constant yelling and pumping any day. And he always had great observations and exercises, both in his YouTube videos and then also in the small group coaching that we did. So this retreat that he puts on that does not have a crazy name was about falling in love with your life. It was about confidence and creating a happiness matrix. I mean, what's not to love about that? Now, we also did a fair amount of yoga, dancing, wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble, anyone, and meditation. The one thing I was struggling with at the time I took this retreat was why I seemed to get so knocked off course when the unexpected happened. I mean, of course, we all have our knee-jerk reactions to pain that include anger, frustration, sadness, and overwhelm. But then I would stay in a space where I was just really upset with myself about it. And in that place, I just wasn't able to focus or perform the way I wanted to. Well, guess what day one's theme was? Avoiding overwhelm at all costs. The hidden lurking problem was that anytime we suffer a blow to something that we consider part of our identity, so this would include things like breakups, losing a job, divorce, death of a loved one, etc., that's where things really start falling apart. And I know this is going to sound so overly simplistic, but apparently it's better and easier to maintain a life than it is to let it fall apart and then putting it back together again. Who knew? So part of that maintenance means keeping some diversity in what priorities you focus on. I tend to be a kind of all-in person, fairly laser-focused. So when work becomes my priority, it's like all I see. Or in the case of this, you know, one-year pandemic relationship, my first experience with cuffing season, it didn't just change my relationship status. It completely changed my schedule, my plans, and it just felt like a big hole in my days. At the same time, if work is your big all-consuming priority and something goes wrong there, it doesn't just rock the boat, it plunges it into a wave. So coming back to this idea of being a force of nature, of nature's resiliency and enduring endurance, as hard as it is for me to back down from something that I'm really into, that's part of my job now, part of choosing my own life adventure. The coach I hired after Biffy, the one who first kind of piqued my interest in learning about astrology and visualizations and such, had asked her group of mentees to sit down and write out what our life by design would look like. This was right before I took the Matthew Hussey retreat. Now, have you ever done work like this, where you try to figure out what that looks like? It's really interesting to see what comes up. Some people have exact requests, experiences they would like to have, material possessions they would like to own, their body to look in a certain way, a certain dollar amount in the bank. And when I had done other goal-setting workshops in the past, I had plenty of those. You close your eyes, pretend like you're rubbing a genie out of a beautiful copper lamp, but this genie doesn't limit you to 3 wishes. This genie wants to hear all of your wishes. So you ask for exciting weekend ziplining, on the beach, hot, steamy romance scenes in your home, a vacation home in Europe or the tropics, a best-selling book, a viral series, a new mountain bike, zippy car for your kids to get into Juilliard, a fresh herb garden, a sunroom, gazebo, hot tub combo, a slinky red dress, or whatever else comes up. For me, it's been interesting to see how much social media was influencing what I had asked my genie for. This shiny plastic life filled with accomplishments, bright lights, adventure, and romance. What's not to love? And a lot of it is true. I live for the ability to learn, to have new experiences that help me grow. A world of endless opportunities to explore is probably my biggest wish. But it no longer looks like an Instagram reel in my mind's eye. It's much more of a feeling quality. To dance, to flow, to be in life the same way you can get reeled in by a really great piece of music. To be and feel inspired, to let each moment build to something beautiful, and to be clear and open enough to appreciate it as it unfolds. So, there you have it. My life by design has morphed from an outwardly focused adventure reel to something that's maybe a little more spiritual. But I will still go ziplining and grow dill, orchids, and happy plants in my sunroom. It's just, now it's more about balance. And now for tonight's reading, in keeping with the idea of visualizations, first we will hear from expert hypnotherapist Dr. Karen Wells about what hypnotherapy is and isn't, the power of the subconscious mind, and take a stab at a visualization. Then we'll head over to ChatGPT to see how much it understands about the subject and whether it can help me script a visualization to help me feel good, even if I'm gassy and bloated. The KEW Manual 2017, Dr. Karen E. Wells. Hypnosis is often associated with stage shows and other often mystical things. Hypnosis is not at all mystical and is a perfectly natural state of mind that we all go into hundreds of times every day. The term hypnosis comes from the Greek word hypnos, meaning sleep. Here are a few of the many definitions of hypnosis. Focused consciousness. An altered state of consciousness. Extreme relaxation. Guided meditation. A series of instructions. In therapy, hypnosis usually involves the person experiencing a deep sense of relaxation, with their attention focused inward and appropriate suggestions made by the therapist. These suggestions help people make positive changes within themselves. In a hypnotherapy session, you are always in control and you're not made to do anything at all. All hypnosis is self-hypnosis, and a hypnotherapist just facilitates the client's experience. Contrary to popular belief, hypnosis is not a state of deep sleep. It does involve the induction of trance-like conditions, but when in it, the patient is actually in an enhanced state of awareness, concentrating entirely on the hypnotist's voice. In this state, the conscious mind is suppressed and the subconscious mind is revealed. The therapist is able to suggest ideas, concepts, and lifestyle adaptations to the patient, the seeds of which become firmly planted. The practice of promoting healing or positive development in any way is known as hypnotherapy. As such, hypnotherapy is a kind of psychotherapy. Hypnotherapy aims to reprogram patterns of behavior within the mind, enabling irrational fears, phobias, negative thoughts, and suppressed emotions to be overcome. As the body is released from conscious control during the relaxed trance-like state of hypnosis, breathing becomes slower and deeper. The pulse rate drops, and the metabolic rate falls. Similar changes along nervous pathways and hormonal channels enable the sensation of pain to become less acute, and awareness of unpleasant symptoms such as nausea or indigestion become alleviated. Hypnosis is thought to work by altering our state of consciousness in such a way that the analytical left-hand side of the brain is turned off, while the non-analytical right-hand side is made more alert. The conscious control of the mind is inhibited, and the subconscious mind awoken. Since the subconscious mind is a deeper-seated, more instinctive force than the conscious mind, this is the part which has to change for the patient's behavior and physical state to alter. For example, a patient who consciously wants to overcome their fear of airplanes may try everything they consciously can to do it, but will still fail as long as their subconscious mind retains this terror and prevents the patient from succeeding. Progress can only be made by reprogramming the subconscious so that deep-seated instincts and beliefs are abolished or altered. Parts of the mind. The conscious mind. There are four parts within the conscious mind: rational, analytical, willpower, and temporary memory. The conscious mind is where we spend most of our time, but it's actually the weakest part of our mind. The conscious mind is the rational, analytical part of the mind. It's the thinking, judging part of the mind. Humans must have a reason for everything. Our ability to rationalize our actions is what keeps us sane. For example, a smoker will rationalize his or her actions by saying, "Well, smoking helps me relax and focus." The truth is that cigarettes raise heart rate and hand tremors by a large percent. So much for relaxing. So our rational mind is not always correct, but as long as our rational mind can come up with some reasoning for our actions, we will be at peace. Our analytical mind recognizes problems such as flat tires, and it figures out how to fix them. Also, willpower is in our conscious mind. How many times have you tried changing an old habit by using willpower? Willpower is only temporary. It gives us short bursts of energy to help us get through a mental situation, but then it fades away. Willpower alone cannot affect internal change. Change has to come from within our subconscious mind. The fourth part of our conscious mind is our temporary memory. This is very limited. This is the memory that we need and use in our daily lives, like remembering where we live and people's names. Scientific research has proven that our conscious mind can only hold very small amounts of information at one time. This is the part of our mind that we use every day, all day long. Overall, the conscious mind is a very weak mind compared to the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind: imagination, permanent memory, habits, feelings and emotions, beliefs, autonomic nervous system. The subconscious mind is the most powerful part of our mind. This is the part of our mind that is in control and that will help you achieve your goals. The subconscious mind is the part of the mind that we work with in hypnosis. This is where our imagination is stored. Imagination is more than just creativity. Imagination is also our perception of the world around us, and everybody's perception is different. The other thing is that everyone's perception is the truth to them. Remember that perception is not reality. It's just perception, but we rely on it to form our reality. The subconscious mind is also home for our permanent memory. Every piece of data ever received through any of our five senses is stored in the subconscious mind. So, starting from where we were in the womb, everything we hear, feel, or experience leaves an imprint on us. Then, we begin to build a database of information that develops into beliefs and habits, and all of this develops who we are today. We will think our next thought, act our next action, and feel our next feeling based on everything that has happened in our past. We are the sum total of our past. Our permanent memory is like a hard drive on a computer. It is a highly organized system, and we know that because it works by association. For example, if you are driving in your car and you hear an old song, feelings come back of some old friend or memory that was associated with that song. Our subconscious mind is like our computer, and sometimes we need to reprogram our computers. Habits, feelings, beliefs, and emotions are also stored in the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is the feeling mind. Hypnosis can help you become aware of the feeling or emotion that is connected to whatever issue you would like to address. When you allow this to happen, you are on your way to making permanent changes. Our autonomic nervous system is things we know how to do automatically, such as breathe, eat, having our heartbeat and blood circulate. When we cut ourselves, we don't have to tell our body to heal. We don't have to tell ourselves when we're tired or hungry. Our subconscious part of the mind takes care of that for us. Let's try a little test. I want you to hold both arms out so that they are level, and turn your left hand so the palm is facing upward, and the right hand so the palm is facing downward. Good. Now, check to make sure the hands are level. Now, close your eyes, settle back, make yourself comfortable. Let's test the power of your imagination and show you how your wonderful subconscious mind can actually work for you. I want you to imagine now that I'm placing on your left hand a very heavy book. The pages are very thin, and there are thousands of them, which is what's making this book extremely heavy, and you can feel it weighing down your hand. Your left hand is feeling so heavy under the strain of holding that book. But wait, I'm going to place another book on top of the book in your left hand. This book is a dictionary with a shiny cover, and it's just as thick and just as heavy as the first one. And your hand, it's getting really tired now. It's really, really tired. Your hand is heavy. So heavy, it just starts to sink down, down, and down. Your hand is getting heavier and heavier holding on to these books. It's going down, and you're feeling tired. Every moment holding the books, your left hand is feeling tired. But I'm going to place one more book, and this time, your hand will just go all the way down to rest. Feeling those books weighing down another heavy volume on top, so your hand simply rests down. Good. Now, I want you to imagine that I'm tying a piece of string around your right hand, and that the other end of the string is attached to a beautiful, brightly colored helium balloon. This balloon is shiny. It's metallic on one side, and it's completely full because it's filled with helium. Helium is lighter than air. It's so light that it floats right up into the air, floating higher, higher, and higher. As it goes up, you can feel your hand lifting, rising, following the balloon through the string attached to your right hand. Your hand is feeling light and floaty as it rises upward. The string holding the balloon is pulling your hand, taking it for a ride, lifting it, raising it up, higher and higher. It's just floating all the way up. Now, open your eyes and take a look at those hands. Pretty cool, right? All right, ChatGPT, if I may still call you Chaz, are you familiar with the flow of self-hypnosis scripts? Yes, I am familiar with the general flow of self-hypnosis scripts. Self-hypnosis is a process that involves using relaxation and focused attention to enter a trance-like state where you can access your subconscious mind and make positive changes. While there are various approaches and styles to self-hypnosis, a typical self-hypnosis script often follows a structure like the following. 1. Introduction. The script usually starts with an introduction that explains what self-hypnosis is and what the session aims to achieve. It may also include a brief relaxation or calming exercise to prepare you for the trance state. 2. Progressive relaxation. This part of the script guides you through a progressive relaxation exercise. You are typically instructed to focus on different parts of the body, starting from your toes and working up towards your head. The goal is to release tension and achieve a deep state of physical relaxation. 3. Deepening. After achieving a relaxed state, the script may include a deepening phase. This phase aims to deepen your trance and enhance your receptivity to suggestions. Common techniques include counting down from a certain number or visualizing yourself descending to a staircase or entering a peaceful place. 4. Positive suggestions. This is the core of the self-hypnosis session. During this phase, the script provides positive and affirming suggestions related to the specific goal you want to achieve through self-hypnosis. These suggestions are typically framed in the present tense and in a positive, affirmative manner. 5. Visualization. In many self-hypnosis scripts, visualization is an essential component. You may be guided to vividly imagine the desired outcome or behavior associated with your goal. Visualizations help reinforce the suggestions and can make them more effective. 6. Anchoring. Some scripts include the use of anchors or triggers. This involves associating a specific physical touch, gesture, or word with a desired state or behavior. These anchors can be used to quickly access the hypnotic state in future sessions. 7. Repetition. The script may repeat the positive suggestions and visualizations to reinforce their impact. Repetition helps embed the suggestions into your subconscious mind. 8. Return to full awareness. Towards the end of the script, there is generally a section that guides you back to full awareness and alertness. You are gradually brought out of the trance state. 9. Closing and affirmation. The script may conclude with a closing statement or affirmation that reinforces the positive changes you've suggested to yourself. It often encourages a sense of confidence and well-being. 10. Practice and follow-up. Many self-hypnosis scripts suggest that you practice regularly to achieve the desired results. Consistency is often the key to success with self-hypnosis. Thank you so much, Chaz. Can you draft some of these scripts for specific goals? Let's say stress reduction, overcoming imposter and comparison syndrome, and one for me. How to still feel beautiful when you're gassy and bloated. Certainly. For stress reduction and relaxation and overcoming imposter syndrome. Begin by finding a quiet and comfortable place to be. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath and exhale slowly. You are about to enter the zone. There's space, there's calm, and there's flow. Focus your attention on your toes. There's a slow wave of warmth, like honey that envelops them. It passes through your toes, into the foot, and up through the ankles. You allow it to gently flow up the legs and into your torso. It fills your heart and center with warmth and elation. As you continue to breathe and enjoy the warm honey, imagine yourself in nature. There are vibrant colors all around. Which ones do you see? There's a gentle breeze and the comforting sounds of water and life all around you. Which ones do you hear? You are calm and at ease. You are at home in your soul. You can allow life to flow to you, to embrace your full potential. You look into the water. It is vast and serene and reflects the sky above. As you watch the reflections of the clouds pass by, you understand what it means to be truly alive and in alignment. You are deserving. All the knowledge and skill you need to excel in your endeavors flows right to you. You trust in your abilities and you trust in the process. Everything is as it should be. You place your hand on your heart and you feel its steady rhythm, your heart's very own song. This physical touch automatically connects you to your inner strength and authentic self. From this moment forward, you can use this touch to remind yourself of your capabilities and completeness. With this touch, you remind yourself, you are calm and at ease. You are at home in your soul. You can allow life to flow to you as you embrace your full potential. You understand what it means to be truly alive and in alignment. You are deserving. All the knowledge and skill you need to excel in your endeavors flows right into you in this very moment. You trust in your abilities and you trust in the process. Everything is as it should be. Your heart has its own song. You are capable and worthy. When you are ready, turn your mind's eye to the east. You walk through the forest. The sunlight filters through the trees, catching beautiful patterns of light all around you. No matter where you go, the light will always find you. As you appreciate the way the light dances through the leaves and the shadows play, you step into a sense of inner joy and acceptance. You are unique, just like this light. You find joy in your journey, just like this light. You see your accomplishments and let them go, like the light dancing in the trees. You see joy in the accomplishments of those around you. There's enough light for everyone. From this moment on, when you are on social media, you will remember that true light is far more abundant and magical than the glow of your screen. You are free and released from the trap of comparison and shiny objects, for you've experienced true light. That true, real, and nourishing light will find you in every moment you seek it. Know that feeling in your heart. Now let's turn your mind's eye to the north. The sun is setting, and there is a beautiful, tranquil beach for you to visit. The waves wash along the shore. In the distance, they splash and play above the rocks, as if to say hello and play hide and seek. As you watch the sky turning from its clear blue to shades of pink, purple, and coral, you see that this sunset, this beach, this world is truly beautiful from the inside out. You are beautiful inside and out. Just like the sunset and the waves, you embrace your own radiance, your body's own nature, and you allow yourself to be so much more than just a body. You are more than just a mind. You are more than just a thought. Now, see your reflection in the mirror. Look into your eyes and see that behind the physical, corporal parts and mechanisms that you see, there is a flash of divine light, a heart song, and a soul's mission smiling back at you. You are complete, all of and more than your sum parts. And this is your day to dance with grace and beauty. When you are ready, you can open your eyes and bring yourself back to awareness. Life is beautiful no matter what our bodies are going through. Take those feelings with you and radiate them in all you do. Choose happiness in every moment through life. Be a magnet for joy and let it flow through you to others. Embrace the gift of happiness that comes from an open heart. And for heaven's sakes, stop eating beans right before bed.